during my mission in Tunisia and in Malta, the number one reason which is pushing Eritreans out of their country is the national service. They have reported that the indefinite nature of the national service is what is pushing them out. And that's really both men and women, and it's across the ages, younger as well as older generations. There's also the fear of being in the military service or in national service for a long period. Just the fear of that makes many of them take the difficult decision of leaving. There's also the situation regarding arbitrary arrests and detention, disappearances in the country. There are many issues which shows that Eritreans are looking for a safe place for freedom and security of the person.
When they talk about the compulsory military service, what exactly do they say is wrong with the service?
What they say is that they have absolutely no problem in performing their duty towards their country for the number of years which was agreed on previously, which started at independence, for reconstruction and development. And that is for 18 months. That is 6 months of military training and 12 months of service. So that's totally okay with them. But what they say is, first of all, that the unlimited nature, you get in, you don't know when you will get out. And some of the issues which they raise is the pay, which is rather low.
Is this long time spent in the military service a violation of their human rights?
It is indeed a violation of their human rights. Also, those who try to escape or to evade face punishments, which can be at times arbitrary arrest and detention, etc. And also the very nature of having somebody in the national service for so long could be termed as forced labor.
But many of them are undertaking very dangerous and perilous journey just to escape this conscription. What are they telling you? Is it worth it?
What they're really saying is that they're left with no choice. I remember one young man, he must have been about 25, 26, very articulate. And when I put the question, but why do you put your life and the life of also your family in terms of the response which can happen? Just to say that when somebody leaves, family members have to pay a certain sum of money, which is about 3,000 plus US dollars. And it's a sum which many people can't afford. He said, look, we are very much aware of the perilous journey. We are very much aware of the risk which we take, but we are left with little or no choice.
Is the service open to men and women, or are women exempted?
No, the service is open to both men and women, and they start the service at 18 years officially. But we've had many stories of young people who said they started earlier than that.
Have you been able to speak to the Eritrean government, and what has been their response?
As you know, I don't have the opportunity to visit Eritrea, but I have spoken with Eritrean diplomats on an ad hoc basis. You know, my findings will be part of my report to the Human Rights Council in June. So these are really the first steps into producing that second report for the Council. So I'll definitely be engaging with the Eritrean diplomats on these issues.
Are they able to access any legal representation or any assistance to perhaps bring to justice those who have violated them?
Absolutely no. In fact, it is one of the issues which I have asked them repeatedly. But if you feel that your rights are being violated, can you report? Is there somebody where, some structure or organization where you can report these violations? And their response has been no. It is very difficult to do such a thing because you fear for your life and for the life of your family.